Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Lighting Your Way. I'm your host, Nancy Lombardo. We are airing live simultaneously on the Lilydale blog radio show and, of course, here on the Lilydale Assembly's official Facebook page. I am a year-round resident here at Lilydale and the president of the Church of Living Spirit, which is an independent spiritualist church here in Lilydale. I'm a military veteran, retired police detective, and fitness instructor, and wellness is my passion. My show is a combination of my many life experiences that will feature various topics and guests to help enrich one's mind, body, and soul on your pathway to healthy living. My Facebook page is Wellness with Nancy Lombardo, where my motto is protecting and serving your well-being. And this week's special guests are Kimberly Ferris and Ellen Bourne. And our topic is going to be Mysteries of the Solar Eclipse. Before we talk, I'd like to introduce them to you. Kimberly Ferris is the legal medium and is an ordained spiritualist minister. Kim is a practicing medium, astrologer, spiritual counselor, teacher, and healer. Kim also trains clients on how to tap into their own intuitive gifts, as well as having the unique ability to draw upon her spiritual insight and practical reasoning to help others find their soul's path. Kim earned her law degree from the Cornell University Law School and is currently a New York State licensed attorney and has practiced law in both the private and public sectors. And Ellen Bourne is an ordained spiritualist minister and past president of the Lilydale Assembly. She has hosted her own radio show, Cosmic Connections, on WWKB Radio. Ellen has worked for many years as an RN, medical intuitive, medium, homeopath, and psychic. Ellen's range of skills has brought her clients from all walks of life and varied professions from around the world. Her experiences have cultivated a rich and diverse perspective to her readings, development classes, and spiritual guidance. And welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show this evening.
Thank you. Yes, great to be here.
Thank you. I'd first like to just start off with each of you telling our audience just a little bit more about yourself that I probably didn't put in your intro, so in case they don't know who you are. Go ahead, Ellen.
Well, I first came to Lilydale, which was, I didn't know existed when I was only 17 years old, because which was amazing and definitely an active spirit, because I had felt this intuitive leaning. And I had a teacher in high school who told me that that Lilydale existed. So I borrowed my mother's car and drove to Lilydale, and it was off season. I saw all these people with all these mediums. Oh, I was enthralled. I thought that I won the lottery, and I still feel that way about Lilydale. That it's my spiritual home, and I always look forward to going there. There's a certain energy there that I say is very deep and very healing and very lovely. You can feel it. It's not that easy to describe, but it's well worth spending even 10 minutes there to feel it.
Totally agree with that. Totally.
So I go back every year. I've had a house there. I've not had a house there, but I teach classes and work on some committees, and it's still one of my all-time favorite places.
And I hope
if you come visit us, I hope it turns into one of yours, too.
Thank you for that. Kimberly.
Thank you. So I've been a medium my whole life and was completely unaware of the fact that I was. And it wasn't until I was in my 40s that I had an epiphany. And realized, oh, so that's why all these things have been happening to me my entire life. Not everyone thinks the way I do. I had no idea. I kind of came out of the gate just doing readings and teaching others what I had learned about how to use your own intuitive gifts. And everyone, I believe, has unique intuitive gifts. And it's just a matter of knowing how to turn that switch on and off. Certain basic things that can really help. So I have a real passion for the art of mediumship and intuition and astrology. And I love sharing it with others. And probably my greatest joy is when I see other people open up and help guide them to do so. So teaching the class we're going to talk about later is going to be something that I'm really going to enjoy. And also going through the eclipse.
Right.
I think that's going to be fun.
It's going to be really cool, I think. So, Ellen, can you tell us how you came into wanting to know about astrology?
Well, I knew about astrology before I came to Lilydale, actually. So, because I was studying it as a younger teenager. Because I was trying to figure out, you know, the zodiac signs are in the paper every day. And so, well, but that's not true astrology. But I started with that because I was interested in psychology. That's how. And because each zodiac sign is sort of a portrait, now I know more of the soul's energy. But then a lot of personality stuff. And I was trying to figure out if that had any bearing on people's behavior, because I was a mental health nurse my whole life. So I've been observing behavior, and I was trying to put all that together. And I was also trying to see if people who heard voices who were diagnosed as like schizophrenics or whatever, if they were hearing the voices I was hearing. And it turned out that, well, it was important for me to clarify that because I didn't know. So turns out that's not the case because we have control over what we do as mediums. We can turn it on and off, as Kim was saying, and they can't. So most of what we hear is positive and under the highest level for the highest and best of all. And what they hear is a lot of insulting and nasty remarks that are scary. Yeah. So that's a huge difference.
A huge difference for sure.
Absolutely.
Kimberly, how'd you come into astrology?
So I guess Ellen and I didn't even realize this until she just explained it, but we have very similar start with astrology. I'm a psychology major. So when I was studying psychology, it did come up in college before I went to law school. And I also had an interest in, you know, psychology and then astrology and how it related to personality. And I did study that in school. And then I would also read the horoscopes and just try to think, well, why are they saying this about this? You know, I was curious about it. When I opened up as a medium and the healer and all of that, I revisited my interest in astrology. And I started taking a lot of different astrology courses and reading books and whatnot. And then started developing my own way of reading a chart that wasn't necessarily what I had learned, but was sort of coming to me intuitively and a different way to kind of take a look at it and take a listen to it. And so it got creative for me. And, you know, we're going to go into that a little bit more in our class, I'm sure, to be able to look at the alignment of the planets and the stars and whatnot and see how you can interpret it in different ways. So that's what turned me on to it.
And how did you two end up collaborating together and working together?
And you know what? I think, how did I meet you? I'm trying to remember.
I'm thinking the same thing. Because we don't live very far from each other, and we're
right.
Both Libras, speaking of astrology.
That's right.
But we didn't know each other existed until recent years.
Yeah. I would say, but it was, I would say it was an instant click for me, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I met Ellen, it was like I've known Ellen for 30 years, but I haven't, but it was like that.
And then when we looked at each other's chat, we found it quite humorous because we have a lot of the same crossovers, which would explain what Kim just said.
That's right.
It's funny you say that about Ellen because when I first saw her in Lilydale, she reminded me, it's like I knew her too, because she reminded me instantly of my sister that lives in Buffalo. I had to look twice because their personalities and everything. Just, it's like I knew you forever too. It's just very interesting you said that.
It's funny.
So I'd like to know if you can give a history, if you know any of the history of the solar eclipse and what makes this one so special and unique.
Well, go ahead.
I've actually been reading up on history mm-hmm. Of the eclipse. And funny you may ask that question. I just read a book about the American experience of the solar eclipse, and it was purely historical. Didn't get at all into intuition, astrology, even so much astronomy. It was more history and what was going on in the United States specifically during 1887, I believe it was, or 1878. I might have them reversed. I do that sometimes, numbers in my head. Eclipse, the big American eclipse, the first big one where people were aware it was coming. I mean, we didn't have internet back then, barely had newspapers going. It was the time of the Western divide and the railroad and all of that. Gold digging, literally, out west and whatnot. Women were coming into their own. Spirituality was coming in. The religion of spiritualism was also coming into its own. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of things going on, and America was becoming a superpower at that time. And Europe was sort of like going, what's going on over there? And that's when there was the last big American eclipse. Now, there have been eclipses since then, I'm not sure how you say that. And 2017, the book sort of touched on it. But it was more focused on that late 19th century and what it did to America and the tentacles that sort of ran out. And Edison was involved. So it's just, very interesting historical perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, I think, with the times that are going on right now and that we're having this eclipse too, which I'm sure we're going to be touching on in the class.
Around that time that Kim is speaking of, that 1887-78, that's when the planet Uranus was discovered, and that's when we had the Industrial Revolution, which changed the country tremendously. And now I still think we're going to have the AI Revolution, which is going to change the country again in a huge way.
And then also they discovered Vulcan during the eclipse, which I didn't realize, but it was all in the book too. So, yeah, there's a lot of
done. I mean, so you said that about way back when. They wouldn't have even known it was coming or to advertise. It's like all of a sudden they just have an eclipse. I mean, I wonder how they figured it out.
That's right. And you know what? They didn't have glasses either. I mean, some of them were going blind from it. I mean, it was, not a pretty scene. At least we have some knowledge now of when and how and these things are happening. But there were some scholars and educators and women, actually. It's interesting because women came out in the forefront during this time. And they had organized eclipse watching parties in Denver and whatnot. So it's a very interesting book anyway. So there's a little bit of history here in America with this type of phenomenon.
So I know our part of the country gets to feel the entire eclipse, yes, and other parts don't.
Yes.
So how often does this happen in this area here? Do you know that answer?
Actually, I did read something, and again, I've been looking at all different things, but something like for a totality over this area was every 375 years or something.
Some ridiculous amount that we won't see any bodies on.
No.
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable.
Yes, it's a very rare phenomenon. That's why I'm so happy. It's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I didn't know it was that much time. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So is there anything different about this one than other ones in the past, like the one in 2017?
Well, are you speaking astrologically? Because for sure,
yeah.
Like we can talk about that a little bit. So it's in Aries, and it's not the only planet that will be in Aries at that moment. And so... for those astrology gurus listening, that I feel is extremely significant. Also, the alignment of how the planets are lined up. And again, we're going to talk about this in our class, so I'll save it for that. But it just seems like this eclipse is going to have the potential of lighting the fire of something that you or even the universe, the country has been wanting to do for a while, but has been stuck or held back from doing so. And so in that way, I feel like this is extremely significant given all the changes and like Ellen was mentioning, AI, political unrest, we'll say, that's going on right now. economic unrest, and a lot of that, you know, comes from also world events, the COVID pandemic, other things. But it's interesting how we're having almost a refresh and restart with this eclipse, given the Aries signature of it.
I was going to say, for non-astrologers, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. So and it's a fire sign.
Right.
So I just give a little more information about what Kim is saying, because Aries is like, start over, first day is very energetic. And we'll be talking about how that applies to the world and to the people who are in attendance and what you can do about this to restart and reignite yourself.
I'm one of those non-astrologists, so thank you for putting that in layman's terms for me, because a lot of it goes right over my head. I do know it's a big event, and I'm excited about it. Do you think, I kind of feel like being here in Lilydale, and you guys are going to be here too, that it just makes it a little bit more special just because of the energy that's here. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Oh, definitely. We touched on that. When I first walked through the door, I noticed that. That was like 50-some years ago. But I think it's the idea of taking the spiritual energy of it and the healing energy of it in a place like Lilydale where it's very acknowledged, and allowing that to go to people and around the planet is going to be powerful for everybody to participate in. And everybody will receive something from it. But it will be a lot more fun doing it in the Lilydale energy, no question.
Yes, I love that idea, for sure.
And Ellen, you bring up a really good point. Whether you're Zooming into the class, Zooming into the eclipse, or you're actually going to physically be here, and they are expecting a million people to descend upon the Buffalo Niagara region.
Yes, they are.
so that's not an underestimate. You know, hotels are sold out, restaurants, et cetera. But if you're going to Zoom into it and you have some sort of tie to Lilydale, I mean, frankly, if you're coming to the class by Zoom, then I would argue that you do have some sort of tie to Lilydale. You know, and so you will be there in the energy, even if you're not physically there in the energy.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity, the eclipse, in an intuitive spiritual understanding of self. And I think that that's great that, you know, Lilydale's put this class together, frankly, so that everyone can do that. You can be on the other side of the globe and join us and experiencing the eclipse.
And still get a little takeaway for yourself no matter where you are.
Absolutely.
That's the important thing. Even if the nugget of it is the eclipse plus Lilydale is the equation, what it does for you in terms of your own healing and expansion, everybody will receive, so I think that's the beauty of it all.
I love that. And actually, Lilydale's making an entire weekend out of it, as we're offering in-person workshops. We're having Zoom workshops. It's going Saturday, Sunday. Monday, we're having a fun fest. We're having mini readings. So can you say the exact name of your workshop and what day and time it is?
It's the solar eclipse, new moon in Aries. And then we have a whole description on the Lilydale website. So just go, you can either go to on Facebook to Lilydale, or you can go to the Lilydale assembly, you know, website, and it's right there. I mean, you can read about what we're going to talk about. And
it's on the Sunday, which is the day before the eclipse, in the afternoon, so between 1:30 and 5:30 p.m., it will be held in the assembly hall on the grounds of Lilydale, as well as on Zoom. So you can join us either way.
And I love that it's a hybrid, because a bunch of people that want to come and learn that won't be able to go, and they'll be able to be there. So that's awesome. And I love that. So going back to Lilydale, because I'd love to hear the stories about Lilydale. First of all, Ellen, thank you so very much for every summer bringing a tour bus here of people. You've done that for many years, I think, haven't you?
Yes, like over 20. But my tour's already sold out. I might be doing a second one.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible.
So that's cool.
Do you get different people or the same people that come back? Or?
No, because people come from everywhere. And I don't usually get the same people. My idea is to bring people to Lilydale and introduce them at the beginning of the season. So if they want to come back and enjoy the rest of the season, they know the wherefores and the who's and get a lay of the land. And a lot of people have never been to Lilydale come on the tour. So I enjoy like sort of sharing all that with them.
Yeah, and it's just a wonderful thing you do for Lilydale, honestly, and to get people to know. It's amazing to me how we're going on 145 years and there's still people that don't know about it. I mean, still. So.
Well, that's why I think the eclipse will be a good thing, too. Maybe more people will, you know, think of the eclipse in terms of what they can glean from it on a spiritual level and not just the astronomical phenomena.
Because I think you're right, putting those two together could be a very powerful, powerful experience for people.
Yes, but just make sure you have the glasses is what I would say.
I know, I was reading like some of these little effects. If you do not, there can be some pretty serious effects looking without those glasses. So
yes, some vision issues that could be long-term.
We're actually going to have glasses available here. The fire department's selling some glasses at the Fun Fest.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's going to be perfect. We'll have them here if you need them. Kim, I don't know if you told us about how you first came to hear about Lilydale.
Oh, well, nobody told me anything. I just showed up one day.
How did you even know about it?
I didn't. So I used to travel a lot for work, and I would drive down the 90 from Buffalo, because I'm from Buffalo. So I would drive down the 90 to go to Pennsylvania and Ohio and those places. I would constantly go up and down, up and down, up and down. And then one day I decided, and again, you know, I get messages. At the time, I don't think I realized that's what I was getting, but I did. To actually, you know, I'd heard about Lilydale here and there from people who had gone down there, never been there. And by myself, I had some extra time in between my business trips where I was like, I'm just going to veer off and get off at the Dunkirk exit and drive down there and check it out. And I went there just on a whim, totally, and just started driving up and down the streets looking for medium. I hadn't even been to a medium yet. And I was one, by the way, but I didn't know it. So, you know, very strange. But anyway, I happened upon one. And then had a reading. And, you know, then I left and maybe I came back the next year, had another reading, and did this maybe once a year. And that's how it happened. And then I just slowly started looking at the brochure and said, I should take this class, I should do this. And I started opening up to the fact that I was a medium up here in Buffalo. And so Lilydale kept coming up. So then I started going down there and taking classes and hanging out there. And really, this was on my own. Nobody was telling me to do this. And then eventually I went to the Fellowship of the Spirit School. I felt called to do that. And so then I started spending a lot of time in Lilydale when I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And really getting to know it and really getting to love it. And then I started teaching there. So it just sort of evolved.
Unfolded the way it was supposed to.
Unfolded, exactly.
I love that word.
Yeah.
So, Ellie, can you tell us how astrology works with psychic and mediumship?
So they're all separate things, but you can use them together. So if you use someone's horoscope, which is based on their time of birth and place of birth, it can tell you certain things about their underlying personality, what their tendencies are. But the one thing important to remember about astrology is it does not take away your free will. It tells you, there's a bunch of characteristics, here's your recipe, like those cooking shows. Make whatever you want out of these ingredients. And so if people learn to use, if they mature and learn to use all of their life ingredients instead of just the main ones, and some people will have more of a meat and potatoes type chart, and other people have more complicated recipes, but needs to simmer and marinate for longer to come up with what that is. It's sort of you can see a person's emotional, like, but divine timing is a big purpose of astrology. It's to when things may occur in your life based on where the planets are. So if I go in knowing that, let's say you know. And then I combine, then the spirit starts to come through and talk about these things. When you combine it with mediumship, then you get a really interesting picture and some really interesting possibilities for the person, that, you know, for the person getting the reading. But then, of course, they have to take that information and do what they will with it. Just as in any other mediumship reading. What the medium tells you is the same thing. You can, you know, use it, forget it, whatever, but it's there. And it occupies the space that we can't see. And so does astrology. I mean, you don't see people giving readings looking at the sky with a telescope. But we know that these invisible forces and invisible schools are out there. And so when you track into, and it depends on the client, too. Some people might be an astrologer, so they want you to explain it in their talk. It's just different ways of talking about really the exact same thing and how to combine them to enhance your work.
I mean, I did have my chart read, and I found it fascinating how much it related to me and my personality and who I was and what I've done. Do you understand how they originally even put these charts together to be able to do that?
Yes, it's really old. Because don't forget, 5,000 years ago, let's say, we didn't have TV or lights or anything. So obviously people followed the stars, because what are you going to do at night? No, and you're also in the Middle East where it's sort of warm. And we don't have the, not to say astrology wasn't elsewhere. So they kept track because of the crops, that they would know when spring was, when to plant, when the water came up. It was based on their survival, actually, of counting moons and even people's birth charts. Like maybe you were born 3 days after the new moon and, you know, and they had names for all these moons. And so when that came along, that would be your birthday again. It wasn't like we have a birth. Eventually, they got a calendar developed from that.
I see. That makes sense.
And that, well, it, yeah, and it was also, there really was no, I don't know, religion, quote unquote. So, and there was a lot of fear. I mean, it was a dangerous time to live. You could be eaten by an animal or something. Well, it's true, because people lived tribally, because they had to. There was no other choice. And so production and food and shelter and all that, and one person couldn't do everything, and they didn't have top supermarket where you could go get your dinner. So, I mean, we have to think of it way back and how it generated historically and what happened around that. And some people even claim, because I know we're coming up to Easter time, some people claim that on Good Friday there was an eclipse, and that's why the sky got dark and blah, blah. As you read in some historical accounts of that, and I don't know if it's true or false, but it's certainly a possibility if they knew about timing. And, you know, like the court fools, they were the astrologers and the advisors and the mediums.
I've heard that theory before, though. I've definitely heard that theory.
Well, enough. They were like the wise ones, but they weren't called the fools.
So this eclipse, we will see total darkness for the 3 minutes and whatever it's going to last, 3.5 minutes, is that, it will be that?
You will be, the partial eclipse begins at 2.04 p.m. The totality begins at 3.18, so it's only like 1 minute and 14 seconds later. It's going to go fast. And then the totality ends at 3.22, so between 3.18 and 3.22, you'll have your total darkness. And then the partial eclipse ends at 4.32, which isn't until an hour later.
Wow.
So we have this squeeze of a couple minutes in the middle of it. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they don't know what to expect. They're telling people, you know, make sure you have food.
No, well, animals respond to it, too. I'm very curious, because in Georgia, we have a lot of, you know, birds and other outdoor creatures, squirrels, not that they're not elsewhere, but there's a concentration of them there. So I'm interested to see how they're going to respond to the whole thing, too.
It's interesting you said that. I was thinking about that, too. I was wondering how they would respond to it, because it's obviously unnatural. It's an unnatural event that's going to happen in the natural.
No, it's a natural event.
Well, I mean, as far as the timing of it, as far as it being...
Oh, that comes, then, yes, totally, totally.
So it's going to be different and interesting. So, Kim, I'd like to know, do you also use astrology in your mediumship and readings?
Actually, all the time. And to the point where someone will sit down with me for an intuitive reading, let's say, and I'm being told what their sign is, or I'm being told to look at their chart in a certain house in my head, you know, before I actually look at it. I like to integrate charts in readings when I can, because I think it gives a nice lens for them on their soul's path. And a lot of people will come to Ellen and I wanting to know what's going to happen to them in areas of love, in areas of career, in areas of whatever it is. And sometimes it can be very reassuring when Ellen was talking about timing for them to know, oh, well, that's not really supposed to be coming together for you. You know, you're 25. You're probably not going to meet your person until, you know, at least 32, 33. And you know, how do you know that? Well, you know, you can do some predictive things with it. And I like to use the analogy of a weather report. I mean, listen, you can go and meet somebody now if you want to, but, you know, if you want to go to the beach, don't go when it's 32 degrees and hailing outside, you know. So it's an energetic weather report. There's still freedom of choice. There's still all of that. I believe the greatest gift the divine has given us is choicefulness. And so it doesn't take away from that. It's just when you were born and when everyone was born, the planets were aligned a certain way in the sky to give you support. That's really what natal chart is about. It's the way things are to give you that energy to move forward in the lessons that you're going to learn and things that you're going to do. So it's not foisting upon you, oh, well, you're a Virgo, so you have to be like this, that, and the other thing, right? It's not a supposed to be thing. It's more of, hey, you're a Virgo, so you have this gift of, you know, whatever it is. And that's a gift, you know? So the way that the planets were aligned when you were born, or even now, it can be looked at that way as a gift. So that you can make decisions. So you still have the ability to make decisions. You still have the ability to do what you want to do. But you can actually go, you know what, there's this stuff in my chart over here that maybe I should consider this line of work, or maybe I should consider going on this trip here, or maybe I should. And so, or selling my house at this time, or whatnot. Because a lot of times people have questions. And this time of year, people are thinking about selling their homes and buying homes. Right? Yeah. So that's a big thing that people will come to me for. I don't know about you, Ellen. I know you just recently went through that. Looking at the chart and seeing what's a good time to do things, just practical things.
Oh, definitely. I told my realtor when to put the sign in the ground.
That's right.
To accelerate the sale in a timeline.
Because that's what she wanted to do in that moment.
Yes, I elected to do that.
That's right.
I love the way you said that about you're born and the planets are there around you to support you. I've never thought of it that way. It sounds comforting when you say it like that.
I think it is. And, you know,
it points to your journey.
Yeah, I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why are we here?
Play off each other. I thought you were great teaching together.
It's a Libra thing.
I was just going to say the exact same. That's funny.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Ellen, I know that you've been teaching a lot off-season also. You've had several classes. I mean, we've got a huge lineup off-season now. Fran Walsh has done a great job getting that lined up for us. I started during the pandemic, and it's just built and built. So we got a lot of classes going off-season. And then you will be teaching during season two this year? What are you teaching?
Definitely. I'm teaching dream and mediumship. Class, how your dreams and mediumship are connected and how you can use one to feed the other. That's on July 11th. Then July 18th, I'm teaching a lot of tarot online, and I'm doing a special tarot class in Lilydale about decoding the hidden symbols in the tarot cards, which will be a lot of fun. And then on the 19th of July, I've got medical intuition, which I practice quite a bit. And I worked in the emergency room at the Buffalo General. And so it's for Reiki, it's for anybody in healing. You don't have to be an official healthcare practitioner with a license. But anybody who's interested in Reiki or healing temple healing
Can you explain what medical intuition is for people that might not understand that term?
Sure. It's a certain way of looking at a person or feeling a person, and they don't even have to be present. I can write someone's name on the blackboard and have you, which I do, and have people tune into that particular person's energy, and they will be able to see what's wrong with the person. Well, we can't diagnose because we're not physicians, but they will be able to discern what might help somebody or what the problem might be. And when I worked in the ER, I spent every day to practice this because we all know when people come in always what, you know, what the thing is. But it's surprising how well people can pick up on you. We usually get some great results when people are really surprised at their ability, and that's the fun of it.
I always said the biggest people that understood the job of police officers were ER people. They saw it all.
Well, there was a lot of contact with the police department because they would bring, of course, I don't need to tell you, but, you know, they would oftentimes bring in patients for various reasons.
Yeah.
And you don't always know what the pre-story is, like why they're neither to the police.
Exactly. Kim, what will you be teaching this summer?
So I do have a class scheduled during the Wednesday night astrology series during season, our summer season at Lilydale. It's coming up on July 17th, which I believe is a Wednesday. I'm looking at my calendar. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
and so it'll be an evening class, I believe in the Lyceum. And the title of this one this year is going to be To Eros is Human, Love and Relationships in Your Natal Chart.
Always a popular topic, I must say, the relationship thing.
Oh, yeah.
And since we've evolved relationships to the perfect teacher for us.
There you go. Thank you. So, yeah, I do attract a lot of clients that want to know that. I'm sure everyone does who practices mediumship, but I do. And so, astrology plays a role in that. It's a tool, like Ellen was saying earlier, that you can use in your readings and whatnot. But it's also a tool if somebody understands their own natal chart, you know, really studies it. And you don't have to be an astrologer to really get to know your chart. And so the class is going to be based on that, you know, looking at your chart and seeing how does relationship play in your life path. And for those that, you know, are seeking that or maybe struggling with a relationship that they're in,
mm-hmm.
maybe understanding why they might be struggling. You know, sometimes if we know a little bit mm-hmm. more about our own process and what we are about, we can find a person to relate to easier and understand what we need more. So that's really going to be kind of a take in that class. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
And I think you'll see, I think Kim will probably touch on some compatibility or why these things don't work. And that might be an opening for a healing in your relationship to improve it. That's why we do all this.
Absolutely.
Did you say there's an astrology series going on in the summer?
Yes,
it's been going on for many summers.
Okay.
Some Wednesday nights, it's 6:30 every Wednesday, we have an astrological talk in the live field.
Okay, perfect. And you guys know the catalogs are out, and they're beautiful this year. The cover.
Yeah, so you got to call and get them.
Yep, they can call and get the catalog, and I love that.
Nice and early, which I think is fantastic.
It's fantastic for people, for sure. So, Ellen, I got a final question for you. I'd like to know what are the most important things you feel like you have learned on your spiritual journey. And you've got a long journey because you've been coming here, I think you said, what's the
Yeah, forever, years? Right?
How would you think so much and you've been through so much?
Yes, but I think the healing piece, even though most people come there because they want to get a reading, but a lot of people come there for their purpose. Which is very useful, and I appreciate that, and I do that too, but I think the healing piece is more important. I don't just mean in the healing temple. If you can receive a reading from a medium or go to the healing temple and learn something about yourself that makes you more comfortable with yourself or unlock something within you that makes your life better, to me that's in the grounds and in the energy and in the space of very peace, a lot of peace there. I think that a lot of people come there because they just like to walk around, too, because of the energy there. But to me, it's the upliftment and the healing through the readings and everything that goes on there. That is critical.
Yeah, and do you feel that that's
And most- people need that more than ever now, because the world is changing. It's getting more stressful, more complicated, and I think it's a good place to tune back into your inner self and find inner peace.
I know when you've had your bus here before and you unload them, they all go right over to that healing temple. But, you know, it might only be, you know, less than 5 minutes that we spend with each individual. But, man, it's an important 5 minutes for sure.
Yeah, some people always have a lot of questions about that yesterday. Like, what did they do? How did they do it? Blah, blah, blah. Because it is a very different uplifting feeling, and it's great.
Yeah, totally. Kim, would you like to answer that same question?
Can you repeat the whole question for me?
Yes, sure, I would gladly. What did you feel is one of the most important things you've learned on your spiritual journey?
Gosh. For me, is to learn, but then to let go. So understanding, I feel, is tantamount. Being kind to yourself and being kind to others, giving and taking to the point where you're giving and you're not giving from an empty cup, taking, but then using that to build something new and different and create. I feel like when I teach classes in Lilydale specifically, I want people to leave the class, not just learning something new, but being able to apply that when they're not in the four walls in front of me, and apply that for themselves, to learn more about themselves so that they can continue on their own path. It's all about, I guess coaching. That's really what it's enabled me to do better, is having this spiritual path as opposed to a non-spiritual path. You know, I have strong legal knowledge, intellect, left brain side of me, and I have a strong right side of me. And I know Ellen's the same way. And I know you are too, Nancy. Until we realized the spirituality piece of it, we were lopsided, and now I feel like we can really, delve into that depth, and we're grounded enough to do it and share it with other people so that when they're not at Lilydale, they can take that spirit of Lilydale with them and apply it in their own space and do what they want to do. And that's what I enjoy doing the most with this, is really kind of bringing it out in the open so that people can use it to succeed in life in the way that they can.
Beautifully put. Ellen, do you have a website or people if they want to get in touch with you?
Yes, I have a website. www.ellenborn.com. Very simple.
That is very simple.
RobEllenborn.com. And my number is 716-874-1499.
Thank you.
If you want to call to make an appointment.
Perfect. Kim, you got one you'd like to put up?
Yes, it's reallegalmedium.com.
Real Legal Medium. And of
Real
course,
R-E-A-L.
Make sure and try to attend their workshop coming up for the solar eclipse. I'm sure it'll be very interesting. We are at the end of our segment. I thank you, ladies, so much for joining me. If anybody has any questions, please put your comments and questions in the comments, and we can go back on the Facebook page and answer any questions you might have. We'll look for that. Thank you both for joining me this evening. It's been
Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Kim.
Awesome.
Good to see you, too.
Thank you so much
Can't
for
wait
joining
to see you again.
Please, everybody, visit this page often to find out everything that's going on the Lilydale Assembly. In the Lilydale Assembly community here, we'll post it on the Facebook page. Also, please like my page, Wellness with Nancy Lombardo, and Instagram, nancy.k.lombardo. Thank you for joining us. My name is Nancy Lombardo. I'm protecting and serving your well-being. Good evening, everybody. Thank you, guys.
God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.